Welcome to another Carlo and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
You know, a common terminology in sports seems to be, I betcha, I betcha, I betcha. And yeah, it's a common Australian culture, the betting game. But really, Sean, hasn't it gone a bit too far the way they advertise you can bet on that? On the, you know, the team leading at half time and a whole range of different things.
I think it has. I'm not a gambler, so I should say that up front. I rarely gamble, but interesting you're saying, like, it's part of our common language, isn't it? But, you know, I'll certainly go on the sweeps at Melbourne Cup. You know, and there's things like that, that I mean, you know, when the big cross lotto's up, I might go and buy a ticket and all that sort of stuff. So they're all forms of gambling, but, you know, I might every now and then have a go on the pokies, but I think that is certainly part of our language.
Yes.
And I do have a concern about now the level of advertising and marketing of betting.
And the time of day it's on.
It's to me, it's almost constant. Mm. You know, even online now, you know, obviously, you know, they tailor ads to suit. But if you're an interest, like we are interested in sport, often when I'm looking at stuff online about sport, there's always the rolling ads to do with betting.
Well, I often hear kids, 13, 12-year-old kids, tell me what odds are and everything like that. I mean, is that a healthy thing for them to have that type of mentality that they understand sort of all these betting odds?
I personally think no, and that's my big concern. Like, I think our generation grew up, and we always know betting's on, you know, like you had uncles and grandfathers and whatever who would go to the racetrack and bet on all sorts of stuff. But that was almost like an outing, you know, you go there, that was part of it. And we've all done that, but now it's online, use your phone, you've got access to it, it's so easy. And I worry about our next generation growing up, because I certainly wasn't bombarded with that sort of marketing. But I think our next generation, to do with sport, are being bombarded. And from a sporting perspective, you know, the big sporting codes want to have a lot of money coming in.
Yes.
They want people interested in their sport. So, you know, if you've got people betting on your sport, they have a vested interest then in your sport. They're going to watch it, they're going to listen to it, they're going to follow it online, they're going to do all those things. So I think that's, again, there's a responsibility in the big sporting codes to go, hang on, we need to make sure that we keep an eye and control over it.
One thing, though, is everyone used to go to the racetrack for an outing, et cetera, et cetera. But with the television broadcast and everything like that, the actual numbers that go to the races aren't as much, but the betting's there. So perhaps with football, the betting will be such that a lot of people bet on the game, they won't necessarily translate into tickets at the turnstiles.
But the thing is now, tickets, you know, selling, getting bums on seats used to be the way to make money. But now I would say that's a much smaller percentage of the income that come into sports. And so now with the ability to stream and broadcast and stuff, like everything online, that's where they're getting the interest.
Yep.
You know, so you might say, okay, well, we had so many people watching football or soccer, basketball, netball, any sport on the weekend. Then comparing that to the viewing public and where they were watching it, were they watching it online, were they, you know, were they streaming it to their phone, all those, and all of a sudden that amount of people watching and being involved in the sport is much, much bigger. So there's a lot more revenue streams now for big sport than there ever used to be, and getting bums on seats is probably not the biggest way they make money anymore.
Yeah, look, I agree, and that translates into what you see on television as well, because Every 5 minutes there seems to be an add on about bet on your team and do this and do that, and if your team's in front at half time you can win your money back, and there's so many different types of angles that they're getting into the psyche of the, in this case the football supporter or the sports fan, because it's sort of they're connecting gambling with sport.
Oh, this is, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, let's look at over history. I mean, we think tobacco advertising, which was banned because of the effects on our health. And so, you know, any big industry knows that if males between 18 and 50 are your market, where are you going to find them?
At the sports.
Involved in sports, right? Yeah. So they're going to be playing it, watching it, doing whatever. And so it's no big secret, is it? So you think, okay, tobacco advertising, let's think about alcohol advertising, and now we've got gambling. And so that's their market, and that's what they're going to target, and that's where the majority of the people that they want to get to are going to be involved in.
You know, you only have to look at Anzac Day and look at the tradition of two-up. So, yes, that type of gambling is part of our heritage, part of our culture, but it's really transcended that now, and it's become a real big business. And what scares me a little bit is we've had historical problems. We had the Hansie Kwanzi from the captain of their South African team, and even back as far as 1919, the very famous Chicago White Sox through the World Series. They've been labelled the Black Sox ever since. That changed the whole game. Babe Ruth come along to save it, otherwise it probably would have just disintegrated. I don't know what the answer is. You hear about all these people that are at games and they're recording every score and all various different things to go to a gambling organisation that allows people to bet on a Hong Kong C-grade volleyball game about who's going to be the first to 10 points or something like that. It's ridiculous.
And that is the magnitude, I think, that's the real problem. As you pointed out, like, we have Australia have part of our culture and history with things to do with gambling, but it was always seemingly controlled and fun.
Yes.
But I think now, and that's what the world we live in, the world is so much smaller now, the ability to communicate and have access to information and people is so much greater. So the magnitude now, and it's just pervasive. Everywhere you look, it's there, and you can't get away from it. And, you know, people are obviously, it's about making a profit, it's about making money, and so this ability now to get to people wherever they are is the way to make money, and gambling is certainly cashing in.
Well, gambling is very addictive to a lot of people, and I can see sort of issues sort of down the track with homelessness and a whole range of different things to a higher percentage of the population because of it. Everyone wants to get rich quick.
Well, it's interesting. Where do you reckon betting on sports would rank? If we sort of ranked all of the different things that we might like count as gambling, and interestingly, they treat horse-like racing separate from sports betting.
Yes.
And so where do you think it would fit in terms of, like, lotto, scratchies and so on?
Well, currently or
right now?
Right now, it would probably be maybe only 10% of the market, but it's growing.
It's the fifth biggest betting process, after all. So, like, horse racing is, and forms of horse racing or dog
racing. Greyhounds, yep.
Greyhounds,
yep.
And then you've got, like, your lottos, your scratchies and pokies.
Yep.
And last year, they spent, this is in Australia, $150 million spent on gambling advertising. And that's doubled over the last couple of years.
So basically that's almost one-sixth of Australia's population is, what's that? That's like $6 per person. $6 per person.
Half a million adults regularly place bets on sports. That's just sports betting. That's not other forms of betting. So that was in 2015, and on average, people will spend $1,000 a year on sports betting. That's out of those 500.
So you break that down, that's $20 a week. That's just too much, really, isn't it? I mean, people might argue you spend $20 on a pack of cigarettes or whatever it is now, you know, and to them it's a hobby. And I suppose if people stay within those limits, that's not the problem. The problem is when it escalates and when you have young people betting on online, which they can circumnavigate with their skills. There's a whole range of things like that that is quite scary.
I think the control factor is the big one. They're estimating that the social cost of problem gambling is about $4.7 billion a year.
Wow.
Now, that's starting to get big, isn't it?
That's huge.
So, as we said, like, you know, there's groups, I know groups of guys who all put a bit of money in. They have their little syndicate. They have some bets each week. Whatever money they get, they might at the end of the year have a trip at the end of the year. Now, that's all. I mean, to me, that's like great social stuff. It's mates bonding and enjoying themselves. But I look at all the advertising now, and it's mates. You're out somewhere. You're having fun. You're having a few drinks. You know, it's all fun and games. And probably most of it is. But then there is this darker side to it, isn't it, where we can have this addiction. And again, that's where now, so as you pointed out before, like, you can bet on anything.
Yeah.
Like any level sport. And it's even getting to that grassroots level where all of a sudden, you know, the sports that we're involved in, it won't be long before we're dealing with players and coaches who are have been found to be betting on the team and doing whatever. We see that at high-level sports, you mentioned with the cricket. But it's probably already happening at the lower level. We just don't have the resources to be able to police it or even know that it's happening.
Well, most famously, Pete Rose, who's had the most safe hits in the history of American baseball, was found to be betting on his team, and he got suspended for life. He can't go into the Hall of Fame because of that. They're trying to, people have been trying to lift it. That's been going on for 20, 30 years. And that's probably the most famous case of a player of his ilk being suspended for life. And I'm sure if you go through all the sports, there are similar characters, but probably not as high profile as what he was for his sport. But there must be a million people around the world that's been suspended because of gambling on their teams, or get worse, gambling against their team.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, and it's, we do see it. I haven't had a lot of issues lately. I haven't been aware of a lot of issues lately. We had a whole lot in AFL there for a while. And then, of course, there's always a strong education program to try and make sure people understand what's going on, what they can and can't do. But you're right. I mean, it's the real, it's that temptation, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you're in control of a situation and you can make some money out of it, and that's, I guess, where over historically there's been that link with corruption and gambling, and that's not always the case. And again, a lot of people probably gamble quite happily and enjoy doing it, and it's not a risk to them. But we certainly know that there is problem gambling or issues with is certainly on the rise because of now the level of it. And if that's where it is now, I do worry about our young kids growing up, especially our boys, because I certainly think the marketing is pretty blokey marketing. You're trying to get it out to that young fellas. And if they're growing up thinking that's normal, then and they're surrounded by it, then you only think, why are they marketing so that they get people to do it?
Well, there's a lot of correlation in what you're saying with gambling, which was for the tobacco industry back in the day, because it was all a blokey thing then. The he-man, you know, having a smoke, et cetera, for sports. Obviously, you know, Alpine cigarette for the ladies was more of a fashion type advertising for that. And I'm sure with women's sports coming up, they'll find some other way to make gambling attractive to females as well, because it's in their nature to come up with new ideas to sell products.
Yeah, we'll have a quick look at some information that's out there. 88% of gamblers are male. So, but again, that market of women gamblers is smaller, but has like the potential to grow. I mean, obviously, the whole, if you're involved in gambling and betting companies, you want the whole market to grow. But even the sponsorship now of sports and like paying for coverage of sports, we don't see it too much, but Premier League, for example, English Premier League, nearly every one of their strips has a betting company on. And so you think of the amount of people watching that game or watching those games, and that's what they're constantly seeing all the time.
Well, with the multi-million dollar sort of television rights with AFL footy nowadays, that probably explains how the television stations recoup some of the money by getting the advertising from the betting companies. That must be the key to them being able to bid so much money for the television rights.
Oh, it's no doubt about it. I mean, you're going to, if again, people are going to want to advertise during sport. Like if it's Friday night football, you know, prime time. And they know the viewing audience, they want to advertise that. And that's why if there's $150 million being spent on advertising, and that's only increasing. That's just one area, that's gambling. So you think of all the other products that, again, want to get their name and get their company out in front of all the people who are watching sport.
Quite frankly, give me the, I bet you $5 my team beats your team this week. That's the traditional betting I grew up with, and that's how I'm sticking to it. I just don't like the insidious nature of gambling personally.
Well, I would just say to people, by all means, have a punt and enjoy yourself, but just be mindful. And if you feel that it's a problem for you, then get some help.
Well, so ends another Cut Unlaid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Dr. Phil.